and that'll do it. The Syracuse Orange come to Blacksburg, Virginia, and win a thriller.
Well, there you have it. Syracuse beats Virginia Tech 71-69 with a great defensive play call at the end to move Elijah Hughes to the top of the zone and throw it that Landers Nolly three. You all saw it. You all remember it if you watched the game. And I can guarantee you, James, that if they did not have a guy reaching out on that shooter there, and I don't think Joe Girard could have, that shot's going in. Because he hit a shot from that exact point earlier in the game. That guy's a good enough shooter. I know that shot's going through the bucket, and we're talking about an earth-shattering loss, or at least a massive opportunity lost in that one.
Back-to-back quadrant one wins in the state of Virginia.
Yeah, we didn't talk about the Virginia game either, huh?
It's been a while since we popped, but back-to-back Q1 wins with a BC win sandwich in between. And as you noted, shout out to Mike Waters, man, because I didn't even realize that Jim moved Elijah to the top of the zone that last play. I admittedly didn't even realize it. And Nolly comes down with a serious case of hero ball, chucks up a 30-foot brick off the backboard. Syracuse lucky that they didn't give up an offensive rebound there. Dolajai comes away with it.
Oh, that's right. It bounced right off Sidibe. It's there for the taking, and Dolajai scooped it up. Yeah, because there was about 1.8 seconds for a putback or foul to happen in there.
No doubt. Which, you know, if they would have come up with it, it would have been close. I don't know. But, yeah, a much-needed win. I think the Syracuse fan base probably would have collapsed had that shot gone in or had they gotten an offensive.
I was just waiting for it because they did lose the second half. They were giving up threes. They gave up 6 of 10 from three to start the half. And that's a tough team to hold down from three. I'd say they're probably a top-five shooting team in the conference, especially with some of the emergence they've had. And how about Jalen Cohn lighting them up for 9 points early in the first half again?
Cohn comes in. He's a bucket getter. I think he really, you know, got started in that first Syracuse game. And then he's played
well.
Those
are the only two games that he's killed it this year.
Yep. And, you know, of course, Mike Young gives him the start against SU. And, you know, he comes out firing, man. Shoot or shoot. Definitely a much-needed win for Syracuse, though. And they'll see if they can get another quadrant one win at Notre Dame on a Wednesday.
Although, that would be a Q1, huh?
Well, interestingly enough, Notre Dame's currently 74. So if they beat Notre Dame, that could put them past 75 and into quadrant two. Funny how that works. And they actually, going into South Bend last year, were in the same situation, and they ended up winning the game at Notre Dame, and the win pushed Notre Dame to quadrant two after they lost.
So on the road, it's top 75.
Yes.
Ends up being a quadrant one win. So if Notre Dame's right on the edge right there, I'm going to take a quick look at it. I mean, Louisville on the road certainly would be one. Florida State on the road would be one. I'm trying to see who else in the conference would.
Pittsburgh on the road, Pittsburgh 69. Clemson is at 75 right now, so that would technically still be quadrant one.
And Virginia Tech would really have to slide to fall out of there. I mean, they're at 44 right now. Virginia is hanging on by a thread. I mean, they just look so bad right now that I can't see that win being a great one by the end of the year. But either way, big credit for them for winning that one. I was infuriated by the way they finished that game. I thought they were going to blow it into overtime, and then they come out and hit 5 threes. I mean, or 4 threes right in that opening sequence because they had 20 in the overtime period. So they had quite a few threes. Buddy Boeheim led the charge. And, man, didn't expect him to reach 20-point-per-game status into conference play, but here we are. He's hitting runners. He's hitting fadeaways on the baseline, and he's just drilling threes at a methodical level.
Yeah, we all knew Buddy Boeheim was an elite shooter. And coming into the year, I don't think if you told me he was going to be top five in the country in makes it might have been possible, but I would have said that was a stretch, and he's done that. But what we've seen more and more over the past few weeks is him taking it off the bounce, you know, especially in the Virginia Tech game, you know, really looking to get to that mid-range level, pull up and hit over his defender. And a couple times, you know, once against BC and once against Virginia Tech, he got all the way to the rim and finished. So we're starting to see more and more out of Buddy. We're starting to see his game unravel, and confidence at an all-time high, going back the other end of the court against Virginia Tech saying, he can't guard me. He can't guard me. The most, I don't think we've seen him be that, you know, expressive this year. He did a little bit at against Pittsburgh in the ACC tournament last year. I think that was the first time we saw it. But, you know, against Virginia Tech saying he can't guard me, that's a different level of expression out of Buddy Boeheim.
So we're going to talk to the Cuse Militia guys today on the show. I do want to talk about the defensive improvements because I look at Buddy Boeheim among the leaders in the ACC. Top five now in scoring. And when you look at the leading shooters in the conference, only him, Hughes, Nwora, and Landers Nolley among the top echelon scorers have been doing it. And, you know, John Mooney to some degree, too, have done it by just taking a massive amount of shots, 14 a game or over. And among them, you know, Boeheim's the only guy aside from Nwora hitting 40% of their threes. You know, Michael DeVoe with Georgia Tech has missed some games. He's doing a little bit of a lower volume. But then I look at Nolley and what he's done with Virginia Tech. 38%. You know, I expected him to hit that shot at the end of the game if they didn't get a handout on him. But overall, through two games, don't you think they did a pretty good job holding him out from what he's done otherwise this year? And I think that embodies more than anything the slight defensive improvements we've seen through conference play.
No doubt. And I was gonna point that out earlier too. But Nolley has struggled against Syracuse, and he's, you know, granted he's a redshirt freshman, it's his first year, but they've done a really nice job on him. And something we've seen out of the zone against Virginia, Syracuse really played down. Asking Elijah Hughes about it after the game and said, you know, were you guys really trying to play lower and let them shoot? And he didn't answer it exactly, but he said, you know, we were really worried about Mamadi and Jay Huff down there. So you saw the zone play low, and basically said, if Virginia's going to beat us, let's force them to make shots.
Clark took so many threes and bricked them off.
none more emblematic than Kihei Clark's brick at the end of the game. But, yeah, you know, I think in Virginia Tech, same sort of deal. You know, they read the scout when Howard Washington came in. They really backed off of Bidet. You know, they were giving him that jump shot. He did make one in the second half, but they were backing off him and playing the other guys. And, yeah, I thought they did a great job on Nolley, and he's really struggled in the two games that he's played against Syracuse.
Yeah, maybe it is the fact. I mean, he's played the high post against most teams this year. I remember talking to Mike Young about that after the first game, and as well as Nolley and Jalen Cohn were talking about the approach that they had against Syracuse. So they switched Bidet and Nolley, putting Bidet in the high post and leaving Nolley, you know, sort of at the top of the arc there. So maybe that, you know, put him in a much different position than he's been in other games. But, you know, I'll give Sidibe credit even for getting into Bidet, using the nearly foot that he has on him and preventing him from doing a whole lot of damage in there, because he did do it in the first game. Hit a couple more shots in this one, but he wasn't as lethal spreading out to the perimeters as he was in that first game. So Sidibe even a little bit of credit in this one. Hit a couple shots inside too. You know, he did his job for 16 minutes. Besides the beating that he took for not getting through that screen to the corner shooter.
Oh man, that's a big ask for him to go. And you know, that's the center's job in the zone. You have to be able to get to the high post, take that away, and you have to be able to stretch to the corner as well. You know, Barama, he's pretty much going to give you what he's going to give you, I think, at this point. But if he can, you know, I think the word is serviceable. If he can give you serviceable minutes from the center spot, I think that's pretty good, and you're just going to have to rely on the other guys to give you some sort of offense and help a little bit defensively.
All right, so we're going to bring our guests in. You want to introduce them a little bit, if they need any?
The Cuse Militia guys, absolute legends. I've said it before, but I think the best Syracuse podcast on Syracuse sports. Of course, you know, I like Noons. I like what we do, but we're kind of newer to the game. John's been at it a while, but, you know, this is really our first year for all intents and purposes. So we're going to bring them on, Sean and Joe. I'm sure a lot of you guys are familiar with them. You know, really good, really entertaining and insightful pod. So we're going to bring those guys on. Shout out to East Syracuse. Shout out Sean and Joe. Let's do it. Let's bring them on. We go to the Troy Noons is an Absolute Magician guest line, brought to you in part by Wegmans and Food Lion.
You gotta pick
those
one.
Aren't our real spots.
We could only hope.
Create a little rivalry there. We bring on Sean and Joe G. Not that Joe G. He's actually Lance, I just learned. Which we can get into that. But
I wish I had that jumper.
We bring on Sean and Joe from Cuse Militia. Follow them on Twitter @Cuse Militia. They're on IG as well. Hit them on the gram. They're doing some good stuff. Greatest Syracuse sports podcast out there right now. I'll go on.
Oh,
I'll say.
Jeez. All right.
And we got a crossover edition for the first time. So we've been meaning to do it. We bring on the guys, Cuse Militia, brought to you in part by Blue Chew and my bookie.
Popping Blue Chews, drinking beers. That's what we do.
What's going on?
How you guys doing, man? Good to have you.
Hey,
on.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having us. Really, because before there was a Cuse Militia podcast, I'm pretty sure Joe did too, but we listened to Noons back in the day. I mean, yeah. that was like the only one. It was like the OG. So we appreciate having us on, and we love having you on, James. And it's great. This is like a bucket list check mark for us.
Wow. High praise. We got to give credit to Sean and John, obviously, for running things at Noons and, you know, making it what it is.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, let's waste no time. That game against Virginia Tech, we needed that. We all needed that. And it wasn't the cleanest, smoothest second half, but I said this right going into that game. I wasn't going to pick Syracuse again in any game this season until I saw them close a game, and they finally did it.
Oh, yeah, 100%. You could definitely maybe question some of those last possessions and some of those last shots, but like you said, We finally did it, and we've been pretty solid on the road, Bobby. I mean, we've got three losses in the ACC, and we've had a redemption for two of them. So that one was huge. And Buddy, God, you can't say enough about Buddy, man. Really.
Did anyone in this room expect Buddy Boeheim to even approach the level we've seen him this last week or two, where he's scoring, I don't know, 25 points a game, I think I saw?
Yeah, not where he's like leading this team, like leading the charge during some of these games and really getting it going. It's nice to have after Tyus leaving and having Hughes step up, but I didn't think Buddy would step into that role as quick. And it's been a pleasant surprise. I mean, he's he's an animal. He's going to be something.
Yeah, it's funny you said. Jim has said it a couple times this year, but he's really like a year ahead of schedule. And yeah, he's. His breakout, you know, freshman year in ACC play reminded me so much of what Andy Routins did in his sophomore year in Big East play. And really, I mean, he's the second best player on the team. You know, I think he's top five in the country in 3-point.
We were so stupid, James, not second on the team in scoring. He might be first in the team in scoring by the time it's done.
We picked Quincy. I think I had Elijah, Quincy, and Buddy as the top three scorers.
Yeah, we all had high praise with Quincy, right? We all thought Quincy was going to be a little bit better at this point, but he's starting to step up. Those rebounds, he came in the first half when Sidibe got an earful for the however many game in a row from Jim Boeheim, right? And and he came in and he rebounded like we thought he was, and it was going to do from the beginning, and that's definitely been, yeah. And to go to Buddy's point, too, not only the three-point shot, I think a lot of people thought, especially after last year, that he was just going to be that spot-up shooter, and he won the ACC Player of the Week. He was on Packer and Durham today. He had an interview with them, and a lot of it was he was talking about how he knew he was going to have to step his game up in these last couple games. He's proven taking it to the hole, taking his guys, making the layups, going to the free throw line and making that jumper. He's added elements to his game that make him more, way, way more than just a spot-up three-point shooter.
Did you hear the broadcast when the announcer Buddy Boeheim, hotter than a pepper sprout.
Yes. Isn't that a Johnny Cash lyric?
I was like, what?
It's a Johnny Cash and June Carter song lyric. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
You might be the only one old enough to know that, Sean. But
thank you, Joe. Thank you.
We got a handful of reminders that he was the coach's son too, which was a little more tough to handle throughout that one. But honestly, you know what I love about him? He hasn't had the greatest defensive season, and I've been giving him crap about that all year. You know, our friend Kevin Wallace over at the site has been on him all year about his defense. But I look at him at the top of the zone and what he does up there, and there's a lot more effort on his side than there is from Gerard sometimes. And I know Gerard's even more physically, I don't want to say in that, but doesn't have the physical tools to, you know, cover the range that he needs to out there. But Buddy gives a lot more effort than, you know, what we're getting on the other side out there.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's, what, 6'6", so he's got a little bit more length than Joe Girard, and he did talk about how this past season he was working on his footwork and working on his agility and his speed and stuff like that to be able to close out on those shooters. And again, to your point, I think that was a reason why Elijah Hughes was in there instead of Joe Girard for that last shot with Landers Nolley there at Virginia Tech. Because that gives, you know, a little bit more size up there. I think Joe Girard's going through those freshman just woes that everybody does, and he's a little bit shorter. So it does give some of those taller shooters like Nolley a little bit of, you know, some space to shoot over that guy. So
he'll get it. Well, we got Sidibe in trouble, and you have Mark stepping up. And we've been saying for the past, you know, probably right before ACC play started in full swing, you know, he's going to have to be key to winning some of these games. That, you know, he's these stupid fouls. I mean, these Mark fouls, they're like, you know, just completely out of control. You know, it's like someone flung him out of a cannon sometimes. He's just slamming into things. But, you know,
my favorite one is when he's along the baseline and there's another guy like right along the baseline and he has possession. And he'll come in and he'll hip check him, but he'll keep his hands up. And the ref will clearly, like, he'll call him for it, and Marek will just look at him like he's got five heads. Like, my hands are up. It's like.
Yeah, that's the Sidibe move too, right?
Except for Sidibe doesn't have his hands up.
No, he puts his hands out, and then when he gets a foul call, then he puts his hands up. Yeah. His whole bench is telling him, no, dude, hands up. You did not have your hands up. You
know, according to Brahma, he hasn't fouled once this season because every time he he looked so surprised. It's like, dude, everybody knows. Like, Jalen Carey's on the bench laughing about it. I was just like, bewildered.
Marek did only have one in this last game, though.
He did.
He is being called on the play center probably 20 minutes a game. I'd say even 24 in this one with Quincy out there by his side. So he's holding up well out there. You know, I just love what he's done where he's lost a three-point shot. It looks like it's not in his arsenal. And Jim actually did say, I want to say a week or two ago, that, you know, he can't take that shot anymore. So I think he's been banished from the perimeter. And he's using good footwork, good touch. I want to say he had three floaters either spinning or taking a hook shot or just doing something extremely skilled on the interior. And we'd see him drive there his freshman year, but we wouldn't see him posting up. They're not necessarily, you know, traditional post-ups, but he is backing guys down and creating space for himself to, you know, get 10 points. And if he has 10 points alongside three other double figure scorers, I mean, this team doesn't need to play that much defense to pull these games out, at least through the course of the game. In the closing minutes, it does have to lock down.
Yeah, but and he's played great defense. I mean, he's taken the ball coast to coast more than anybody else, I think, on that team.
He's been great on the boards. I mean, he's been a godsend this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's finally clicking with him, I think, and just being careful about it is key, you know, because Sidibe is never going to get there. He's never going to – what you see, I think, unfortunately, what you see is what you get. And I just don't think it's going to improve much. So he's out there to absorb some fouls, keep Guerrier and Mark out of trouble there, let Mark spend some time at forward where he should be, where he is best, and just hope for the best and whatever happens after that. Anything's a bonus, you know.
And me and Sean have talked about it, how Mark, he's not just a freshman role player anymore, right? Like, we need him to your point, the 10 points, the 10. He's almost got to be our automatic double-double guy, right? Just like a Mooney, maybe just not as many stats, right? But we still need to have some type of down-low scoring, at least the aggressiveness to try to get some of these guys in foul trouble and try to be able to score, because we can't be just a three-point shooting jump shot team. Otherwise, we just turn into last year.
Yeah, ultimately, it's going to have to be the transition game that pulls it out, because that's where they're awesome. You know, I don't think this team's that great offensively in the half court, and they're getting into those sets more and more these last couple of weeks. I mean, this team's at its best. We saw it early on this year when they get a stop, secure that rebound, and find a shooter on the perimeter.
Yeah, I mean, last year, sometimes watching it, it was almost painful, right? It was like we were trying to limit the possessions one-on-one, just run the shot clock down. At least this year, you can see we're trying to get more possessions because he knows that we have more scores. And that kind of goes to your point with the defense, is we don't have to have necessarily the best defense. We just can't allow them to get the offensive rebounds, the second chance points, which I think we've shored up a little bit. But Boeheim wants us to be able to, like you said, run out, get the rebound, go, and actually maximize as many possessions as possible, because when we get hot, we get hot.
James, they're pulled down in the numbers by that Virginia opening game, but ultimately, let's say since the new year started, Where do you see this team ranking among the ACC offenses? I know you do your rankings every week. You're looking across the league. Where do they stand right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's up there. I think the biggest thing with the transition game is, yes, Syracuse has done really well in transition. Maybe that's their best offense. But what they've really struggled with up to this point is getting stops on the defensive end. You can't run unless you get stops. Because if the other team's scoring, you can't inbound the ball and get down the floor before they are. So, you know, you kind of have to generate steals. You kind of have to get stops and get rebounds and then look to run that way. But certainly when they do get out on the break, they're good. And then I think they can play in the half court. I mean, they've shown that. You know, against Virginia Tech, I think you saw a lot more, you know, one-on-one because Virginia Tech wasn't coming off shooters. So you're seeing Buddy get in there and hit in the mid-range. You're seeing a lot. Elijah didn't really hit shots until the end, but you saw him do that as well. Elijah's done that really all year. But you're seeing Buddy get in there and go one-on-one because his defender's staying with him. So I think they've definitely grown offensively. And one player I want to touch on, too, is Howard Washington. And Joe Girard's been great at this all season and not turning the ball over. I think Syracuse is really tops in the ACC in that category along with Notre Dame. And we can get to Notre Dame in a second as well. But they don't turn it over. And when you got a guy like Howard Washington, he comes in. He's not going to score a ton, but he's going to control tempo. He's going to run the offense. He's going to get guys involved, and he's going to play solid defense. I thought he was as big of a key, you know, fueling that Buddy run. Obviously, Buddy made the shots, but Howard was setting him up, getting him in the right spots as well.
Yeah, I mean, we hit on that a little bit. James, I'm right there with you, but you did see in the second half they made a little bit of a defensive adjustment, and they kind of left Howard Washington open a little bit, right? So if he is going to – I mean, we can take advantage of that a little bit, but once the team kind of figures it out, they're going to make Howard Washington have to score or at least make the right move when he does have that – you know, opportunity as far as having the ball open. And I would have liked to have seen him kind of pass up that three and maybe take it to the hole, try to make something happen, right? Because we allowed them to basically dictate the shot that they wanted versus the shot that we wanted. So that's just one little thing that we'd have to work on as we go forward. But yeah, having Howard Washington in there, we've talked about it. He almost brings a calming sense to the offense when Joe does have that, you know, some of those breakdowns. I see Joe sometimes, he makes some mistakes that he's not used to making, and sometimes he gets down on himself, and that's really when Howard Washington, he can come in and kind of do what he did against Virginia Tech.
Boeheim deserves a lot of credit, and I know John and Dan gave him plenty of due in their episode earlier this week, but not only that adjustment, putting Hughes at the top of the zone at the end of the game, maintaining the trust in the bench isn't something you'd expect him to do, and he has. I mean, he's been as bad as Quincy's been all year long, and he's gone as far as to say he went to a game and all he did was shoot, even though he can't shoot.
After the Georgetown game, he said he was looking for anything out of Quincy.
Yeah. Yeah, and he also criticizes outside shots too, and he says he's not supposed to be. He knows he's not supposed to be shooting from out there.
I got a good quote from him earlier in the year too, where I was like, you know, what are they telling you in there? And he's like, they say I'm soft. But, you know, he's taken the blows like Sidibe has, and he's improved. He had the big and one in this game. So the faith has paid off in the bench. How it gives them defense, if anything. There's certainly offensive issues when it comes to scoring and how they can leave him out there, as you said. But defensively, they have options in Quincy, in Howard. They can make them a little bit better defensively through the course of the game. And that's what they need, is just to limit the damage on that end. Because honestly, I know there's a stat floating out there that their starting lineup's been among the better plus-minus lineups in college basketball this year. But defensively, to me, they just look so weak. It's probably just because that offensive group is so good.
Yeah.
The defense has made some strides, I think. You know, not anywhere near where Syracuse has been in recent years. You know, I think Syracuse fans for years were pleading for a better offense, and, you know, they've gotten that this year. The offense is certainly there. Elijah and Buddy definitely making shots, as we touched on. But the defense is coming along. After the losing streak, the defense did slip out of the top 100 in KenPom. It's bad. It's back within the top 100 after past few games.
Yep.
So I think the defense is definitely making some strides. You're starting to see Buddy play a little bit better defensively. I think Girard's been a little bit better defensively too. He does gamble a little bit out there.
And he inside they started that to drives rebound crazy a little bit when he floats.
That's football. That's the football on him right there. That's him playing defensive back, trying to make those interceptions, right? That's kind of what he does. But yeah, I've noticed the same thing. I've kind of followed KenPom as well. And the one thing that sticks out to me is, again, the offense. I don't know the last time this offense was rated that high as far as adjusted efficiency, right? So usually it's the defense that carries us. So, and to play devil's advocate, because that's what I do on our show, the last three teams that we've played have had limitations on offense, in which we were allowed to game plan and actually implement a pretty good game plan defensively, whether our 2-3 looked like a 4-1 coming out in Garden, Virginia Tech and Boston College, or whether we sunk down and just let Virginia, I mean, we wanted them to shoot, they didn't want to shoot, but that's kind of how we played, right? So I think our next team poses a different threat.
Yes, and we know his name.
Yeah.
There hasn't been that offensive rebounding force. There hasn't been that back line presence these last couple of games. And now we're going to see it again. And honestly, I'm feeling awesome about where the team's at. You know, I'm still holding out hope that they could even make an ACC tournament run. But this matchup they're about to go into against a team that struggled, that would probably line up as a pretty bad loss even on the road. And I think they could lose to this team again, is Notre Dame. I mean, this is just a horrible matchup for them. Shooters who can spread them out to the perimeter, and then a backline guy who can kill them on the boards and on that backdoor pass.
Mooney might have a double-double. Easily get 20 and 25.
Mooney's fantastic. He's fantastic every game. What is he? He's got 12 straight in leading the team in rebounding, 12 games straight. I think he's 16 for 17 overall leading the team in rebounding. But then it's the double threat. Prentice Hub and TJ Gibbs being able to shoot. They killed us. Those three killed us for 71 points. 71 of 88 points last game, those three guys. Wonder, you know, because it's a Syracuse thing, it just seems to happen to us all the time. If you take care of one of these shooters, you know, who else goes off? Who's the no name, like the Jalen Cohn that just has a career night against Syracuse because they're so worried about somebody else?
Yeah, we call it the Randall.
Krzyzewski.
Yeah.
I love the quick turnaround on this too, because that was just such a brilliant game. There was that tension between Prentice Hub, Joe Girard.
Yeah.
He's been getting into it with the guys left and right here these last couple of games. So I wouldn't be surprised to see something renew on that end of the floor. It's just, I don't know how they even adjust game plan or do anything to keep this team off the board. I guess you just hope Mooney gets into some foul trouble, but he's only averaging like 2 fouls a game this year. He's not a big foul guy.
He's just huge.
That's why. Well, I mean, I look at it as like Mooney's going to be Mooney. If you sit here and you worry too much about stopping Mooney, then you're going to forget about everything else, right? So I do think that we have to definitely attempt to try to get some of these guys in foul trouble. I thought that when we got Juwan Durmich foul trouble and eventually fouled him out, that helped our case at home when we played against them. But as we brought up in our pregame, I think one of the biggest things, when I went back and looked at the condensed game, 12 out of the 15 threes that they made were at the top corners, both left and right, both Prentice Hub and TJ Gibbs. And I think Lejewski made one as well. So they're going to shoot, but I would say one of the biggest things we need to worry about is running them off of their spots, knowing your opponent and where they like to shoot and making them shoot somewhere else. I think that's maybe one of those things that could be a make or break type situation with, I mean, I don't see both teams shooting the percentages, both making 15 threes like last time. That usually never happens in the redemption game. So that's one thing that I think that could give us one leg up. But like you said, matchup is kind of bad, and it's going to be a traditional 2-3 zone where they're going to get shots.
Yeah, Joe, I agree with you as well, because Mooney, if you go back and you watch the tape, a lot of his buckets were off dump downs or off offensive rebounds. You know, him just getting sort of easy shots at the rim. If you go out and you defend the shooters and take care of business there, those opportunities won't be there as much for Mooney. So I definitely think you have to focus on the perimeter attack more so there. But yeah, to your point, is Syracuse going to go out and shoot 15 to 31? Well, they're capable of it, but are both teams really going to shoot it that well on the second time around? I don't know.
How much stock do you put into Notre Dame having a week off? And Joe likes to play devil's advocate on this, but I mean, the week off, they're not the team that's traveling. Syracuse, within that week, they've had to You know, they've had to travel, and this will be the second time. So edge Notre Dame, in my opinion. Joe, you know, he's got a good argument for why not, but what do you guys think?
There's something about this team on the road, and we've now seen them win two straight ACC games. And I've seen this over the last couple of years, too. You know, I haven't done a big dive into the numbers, but they seem more comfortable within the flow of the offense, shooting, all that kind of stuff just seems to tick up on the road. And I know they have that real stinker at Georgetown that kind of pulls down that argument. Mm-hmm. But I do feel better about this team outside of their own house for some reason. I don't know if it's just the fact that you can only focus on the game when you're on the road. You can't really go out and do your own thing outside of that, or what other outside factors could play into that. But I felt better about this team, especially on the offensive side of the floor, on the road. I mean, when's the last time they did something like they did against Georgia Tech at home? I can't remember it.
Yeah. No. I mean, it could be, you know, the distraction of people standing and clapping at the beginning of every half. I don't know.
I'm just gonna... Oh, don't bring that back up. Come on.
Can we get you started?
Killing me, Smalls. Killing me.
Spark the old flame. But, you know, who knows? But you're right. They've been awesome on the road, minus the Georgetown game. But even that game wasn't terrible, but that they weren't playing the way they're playing now either when they played Georgetown. I mean, it's like when ACC play goes full swing, even last year with Buddy, when you look at him, he didn't start hitting his stride until it was full conference play. That's when, and then he got even better when more pressure was on in the tournaments. So, I mean, it's just kind of how they play. They play up and down in their competition. They've done it since I was a kid. So I always remember it like that. So,
I mean, this is one they absolutely need, though, because the bad losses have piled up. I mean, they had to get the Virginia Tech game. That couldn't have been a sweep, because I think Virginia Tech probably goes back to the mean by the end of the year. The Virginia win, I feel like, is going to sink quite a bit by the end of the year. I mean, that's just not going to end up being a top 25 win as it was. And I even look at a game like, you know, BC is going to end up being pretty bad by the end of the year. That one's just going to keep sinking. Like, the wins that they've gotten look like they're on a downward trajectory. And, you know, James, I'm not where, you know, John and Dan are to some degree, where they just feel like every ACC win is just going to be pretty much useless because of the state of the conference. Like, one of these teams is probably going to end up exceeding expectations. But I don't think they can pile up as many bad losses as they have. I mean, Oklahoma State has just gone down the tube. Yep. You know, Georgetown, I think, in that conference is going to. I usually think great wins outweigh bad losses when it comes to the committee, especially with the recency bias. But you can only have so many bad losses, and they have quite a few.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, the one thing that does help the conference out is, and you know, everybody knows the ACC is down this year, and I think it'd be foolish to say it's not. But there's been a lot of road, the road team has won a lot of these games. And given how that breaks down in the net, that actually helps the conference. So you can, in other words, if you win at home.
That's so true.
Yeah, how it breaks down in the net is a quadrant one win is 1 through 30 in the net at home. Mm-hmm. Versus on the road, it's 1 through 75.
Yep.
So, you know, I think I checked earlier this week, and road teams were 29 and 23 in ACC games. So that actually helps the conference a little bit. And then, you know, yeah, I mean, the Virginia game, that's already losing its luster. They lost to NC State earlier this week. They've lost three out of their last four. So I definitely agree with you on Virginia Tech. I think they're going to slide a little bit in the net. But Virginia Tech, that's going to remain, you know, barring a complete collapse by them, that's going to remain a Q1 win the rest of the way, just because they're 44 in the net. You know, they'd have to slide all the way down to 75. Past 75, excuse me, to 76, and Virginia 63. So that, you know, they could potentially slip into that Q2 category. But you know, the rest of the way, I think the most important thing is obviously getting wins is important. But I think at this point, it's equally as important to not pile on more losses. And in the case of Syracuse, well, you know, in quadrant three and quadrant four games, they're 1-0 and 7-0. So they don't really have any quote unquote bad losses. You know, I think the Georgetown, Oklahoma State, that has potential to, you know, maybe slip down there. But as of right now, they don't really have any bad losses.
Yeah, and those are road neutral games. That's a good point. You know, the best thing going for Syracuse this year might be the fact that, you know, the odds makers or whoever the decision makers of who gets in the March haven't adjusted to how, you know, home court advantage seems to be adjusting. I mean, I saw that KenPom tweet the other day that home teams have won just 59% of conference games across the country. That's the third lowest of all time. So especially in the ACC, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of home court advantage. So even if Syracuse drops some bad ones at home, they could gain so much by beating a Florida State on the road, a Louisville on the road. I mean, they definitely have some big-time games on the road. And even some, you know, more poor teams like Clemson, who a win like that could get boosted a little bit by the fact that it is on the road.
Oh, yeah. And when you look at it, again, to James' point, we haven't had a loss to a team that's not in a major conference, right? So I really – we can say there's some bad losses, but there really isn't. If you don't have a quad three or a quad four loss, then that's really not a bad loss. The only issue is because of the state of the ACC, there's not a lot of quad one games out there to take, right? So that's why those road games really are that helpful. And I think another thing too is the 20 conference games, like compared to 18 from last year, right? So we don't have those two extra gimmies on the non-conference schedule. So that's where we need to get the wins, but we don't know how the committee is going to adjust to strength of schedule. I think our strength of schedule is going to be up there pretty high. And this is kind of one of the more wildest college basketball seasons that I've seen, as far as ranked teams losing and just everybody is just, it seems to be just kind of average, mediocre. They can lose to anybody.
Everybody
any
stinks.
I don't want to say that, but you know that. I mean, yeah, if you watch it, I mean, you can watch every Saturday. Two, three, four. Yeah.
There's upsets all the time, man. It's crazy. That's college basketball, though. That's why we love it. That's why we watch it.
This year, it seems like
I know. It's weird.
There's no RJ Barrett. Should we play a little bit of buy, sell, hold to get you guys out of here?
Oh, do you think I'm going to say no to that?
I don't know.
No, absolutely. If you got something, James, bring it.
Guilty. Right.
Let's do it. True to Q's Militia form, we'll do some buy, sell, hold.
Oh,
okay. I'll start. We'll go through you guys. We'll do a kind of snake style. I'll start. I'll ask the question. We'll go Sean, Joe, Bobby, and then I'll answer. And then, Bobby, you can pick up on the next round of buy, sell, hold. Pick your own question.
All right.
So I'll start. Buy, sell, hold. Syracuse wins at Notre Dame. Sean.
Hold. I want to watch the game first.
That's a weak hold, bro.
You only get one.
I think we've gotten redemption. We're two for two for redemption right now. It's hard to go 3-3, but I'm going to buy. I'm going to buy. And I think it's the way that Syracuse has responded in the past couple of games against Virginia and Virginia Tech. And I'm just going to say they keep it going. I think the confidence is up and I like what I see. And, you know, I think Boeheim's starting to get into the niche of how he's going to coach this team from here on out. I think he's starting to feel it a little bit. I think he learned a little bit too, coming into ACC play. So I'm confident that we're gonna see a good Syracuse team at the Joyce Center. So,
okay. Joe. And I am also gonna buy, and that's only basically because this is a different team than what Notre Dame saw even less than 2 weeks ago. The confidence that we have on the road, the confidence that we've gained just going to Virginia and winning those two redemption games, I think we make it 3-3, and that's pretty much it.
I'm going to sell on John Mooney, on the matchup issues here, and just being realistic that when we get too high, there's that crashing down that we always see.
I know.
It's a cycle.
You're right, Bobby. It's true.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a sell as well. I think Mooney going to be a little bit too much inside. Sidibe, you know, Gary are probably going to get in a little bit of foul trouble in this game. And then Notre Dame too much from the perimeter. I do look forward to the Prentice Hub Joe Girard matchup though. That should be fun.
Fair enough.
Bobby.
Hey, we do admit that we're biased.
Yeah.
Unapologetically.
Yes.
Unapologetically biased. That's right, James.
All right. Bobby, your turn. You can pitch a buy, sell, hold.
All right. Are we going to buy sell or hold the possibility that I've been raising quite a bit the last 2 weeks that the surest road for Syracuse to get into the NCAA tournament this year is to win the ACC tournament. Let's say they can get there right around that 4-6 seed area right now, end up there around the time that the tournament starts, which is pretty good position, I'd say, right behind Florida State, Duke, and Louisville. Could they, from that kind of position, go on a run, win this tournament? If it's any year, I think it's going to be this one.
I'm going to hold that one, and that's only because I think that, again, you talk to the strength of the ACC. If we can continue this growth that I've seen the past couple games, and we can continue to get better, Guerriere get better. I know that Jim Boeheim, he talked a little bit about Bryson Godine doing some good things in practice, and maybe it's just taking him a little while, but I know that I saw some things in Boston College, some of the plays he made, only him and Elijah Hughes can make on this team. So I'm going to hold that just because I do believe that they can actually play their way through the regular season into this tournament. But I will agree with the fact that this is probably the best chance, if any, to go into an ACC tournament and win it this year.
I agree with that, too. I'm going to sell, though. I don't think that they're going to need to do that if they keep showing me the improvement that they've been showing me. I think that they probably still got one big upset left in them. I mean, you got a Louisville. Duke's at home. I don't know if that bodes well or not. But they always play each other tight. So, and like Bobby said, you know, I think the committee looks at good wins over bad losses. And not only that, but it's kind of like, you almost look at more so the end of the year anyway, and getting to those games, I think we're going to be okay. I don't know if we can make a huge run in the ACC tournament, but winning a game last year was a start. I say we maybe win a couple more this year. I think we got a good shot. I agree with that. I just don't know if they can do it, but I would still sell anyway. I still think they can get it done in the regular season.
I'm going to buy because the surest path to the NCAA tournament is definitely to win the ACC.
Well, that's a true statement.
There's no doubt about that.
Touche.
Looking at it pragmatically, I mean, I think the best way is, you know, obviously to, you know, secure as many wins as possible. You know, you want to win every game, of course. But I think, you know, the at Florida State, you know, the at Louisville and home against Duke, those are your best opportunities there. Definitely going to have to win at least one of those. You can throw probably, I know John on the pod earlier, he threw NC State into that mix. So you get one or two of those and you're sitting pretty, and then you sort of take care of business against the games that you're supposed to win, and I think they can get back into it. Definitely on the outside looking in right now, but they can definitely get back into that discussion.
Either way, the tournament helps you out just because you can knock off a couple more weeks there. Like,
exactly. Yeah. Definitely going in there and losing in the first game like they've done in the past. Definitely a bad look. They need to win a couple at least.
But usually you need to beat two or three tournament teams to win that tournament, right? Mm-hmm. And this year you're looking at you might be able to get away with beating only one NCAA tournament team and winning this tournament. So to Bobby's point, that's probably the best year if you had a chance to just go in and win it.
The playing field is level, but the stakes are going to be higher because it's in Greensboro.
Here's the other real quick. I think he takes it more seriously this year too, because other years you go in there, it's like whatever, it's not like we're gonna go on a massive run in here. If you go in with a chance, I think there's a different coaching mindset to it as well.
Yeah.
Greensboro, it's only an hour away,
so Joe, you'll be there.
Tickets. No, yep,
hey there we go. All right, we'll get you guys out of here on the last one. I know I heard you guys mention it on the pod earlier. Buddy Boeheim becomes the best shooter in Syracuse basketball history. Buy, sell, hold.
That's to me, Sean. It's so easy to buy all these, and it's so easy to sell them all too. So
that's what makes a good buy, sell, hold.
I'm gonna use my hold and. Okay. And you know what? No, I'm not going to. I'm going to buy. I'm going to buy. Ooh. But like Joe said, and we haven't done this, Joe, we wanted to compare his freshman season to McNamara's freshman season and give us a good gauge. I don't know where that's at. I haven't even looked yet. But I'm still going to buy just because this kid is so good. He's just such a natural shooter from out there. And he overcomes a lot. I mean, he didn't score a point in one half, and then comes in and scores 25 in the other half. I mean, that's McNamara-like at the very least. So he's got a shot. So I'm gonna say, yeah, I'll buy that right now. Just because I'm on a Syracuse high right now. So I'm buying. I'm on buy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm going to sell, and that's just basically what he said. I don't know the numbers, but I would doubt that he hit as many threes his freshman year as McNamara, and he kept going. And McNamara played in many NCAA tournaments and carried us to an NCAA tournament himself pretty much through a Big East tournament. So if you're talking about the amount, then I'm going to sell. Percentage, different story.
All right, I'm going to say hold because I'll give him two more years to – play this out, rack up a ton of threes. I mean, this team's probably shooting more threes than they ever have before, even during that GMAC era. But keep an eye on the free throws because that plays into it too. And he's been 78% his whole time here, which is a factor.
I'm going to hold as well. I think by the amount, GMAC hit 400, I think, in his career. That's going to be tough for Buddy to get to.
He'll get the shots, though.
He's currently on pace to break the single season record. I think he'll shatter that. The current record, I think, is 112 by Andrew White. So he's on pace to break that. But as you know, Sean mentioned, I don't think he got necessarily the amount of looks that Jerry got his freshman year. Jerry had a pretty long postseason career, too, if you think about it. Because
yeah, he did. Yeah.
Six games his freshman year in the NCAA tournament, as well as, you know, made the Sweet 16 his sophomore year. And then junior and senior year, he won the Big East tournament. So that's a lot of extra games that he got under his belt.
Yeah, we won't bring up Vermont.
Yeah.
What happened?
Who's Vermont?
So I'll hold for now. But thank you guys for joining.
Thank you guys. That was fun.
You're one of my favorite guys on Twitter. So
hey.
and you know, anybody who's going to do snow. Yes, we. One of these days we're going to hug, James. One of these days we're going to hug.
And maybe we'll all go down to the ACC tournament with Joe, and you know.
Oh, then I'll have to go. To go see Joe is just like, eh.
Bobby, you want to come down the ACC tournament? And
I'll be there. If I get the cash, if I get the money, if I get the support of anybody, I'm there. I've been holding the flag of winning the tournament all year. I got to be there.
Yeah.
And hey, you know what? I'll stay late. I'll stay late if we can and do court angels on something.
Hey,
I mean. I want to get in. I want to get in on some of that.
So. I'll take the pictures.
7 o'clock tomorrow, Syracuse, Notre Dame. This has been the Syracuse Basketball Podcast.